Did it just get hot in here? She's a hot mess. A hot, hot mess podcast.
Hello, degenerates, and welcome back to yet another episode of a hot, hot mess podcast. My name is Haley, and as always, I'm a hot fucking mess. So I tried to sit down last night and record this episode so I would get it up at least at a decent time today. However, my dumbass decided to get a little too drunk, party for one, thank you. And when I went to go listen back to the episode this morning, it was fucking incoherent. I have no idea what I was even trying to say, where I was going. I mean, honestly, do you guys expect anything less from me? If you do, that's on you. I can't help you. So I am re-recording on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Before we get into this week's topic, I, as always, have a couple of announcements. The first one is I have decided that I'm no longer going to be working with Spreadshirt for my merch. One, the designs were really, really limited, and I chose the company knowing all of the downsides to it. But what sold me was the price point. We've talked about it before. I don't feel comfortable charging $40, $50 for a fucking t-shirt. It just doesn't feel right to me. So I did go with Spreadshirt for their price point. However, they have now become, and I'm not saying this to be a dick, I'm not saying this to slander them in any way. They are amazing at what they do. However, they don't really tailor to podcasters or someone who's trying to create a brand. They decided to remove all of my designs that had my brand name in it, a Hot Hot Mess Podcast, which is kind of the whole fucking point of me having merch, is to spread my name out there, get more people in this hot mess tribe, and for you guys to have something that you're proud of. And I know that the designs were a little basic, I guess, if you want to call it that. It was just kind of a rectangle on a shirt. Honestly, it's something I could have done. And like I said, I was okay with that for the price point. However, with them removing majority of my designs, every single design except for one, and that includes a never before seen Pride launch. I had merch exclusively for Pride Month that they never approved because it had my logo on it. I think it's bullshit. I just decided I'm gonna move on to a different company. I have had a different company reach out to me. They are exclusively for podcasters, YouTubers, and content creators, so it is gonna be so much better. I can simplify the designs a little bit. The designs look really nice, and I get to stay around that same price point. I will do an official announcement on this platform, Patreon, and Instagram for when that goes live, when we do switch over to a different company. So make sure you head on over to Instagram to be the first one to know. My second announcement, if you guys have been listening to me for at least a couple of weeks, you will know that I have been working really hard to make a backdrop, like a studio space within my house, and it is officially done. I am so excited. I tried to record. I'm so fucking mad because I did my hair and makeup and I got it all set up last night and then I got drunk. So today I'm going to be taking some pictures and showing you guys on Instagram. I'm really fucking excited for it. We probably redid it about 4 or 5 times, moving things around, changing out the signs. Everything is kind of DIY. It looks really fucking adorable. I'm going to start doing promo videos on my Instagram again. I had so much fun doing them. So that's the whole reason for a studio space, is to start getting those promo videos back out. That way you guys know roughly what the episode's going to be about for the week and you guys get a small snippet of it. So I'm so excited that that's fucking over. That has been a huge headache for me. And it's done. Last announcement, my new uploading schedule changes this week. I know I've been pushing it off for a couple weeks now. I haven't been feeling so hot. She battled with some mental health problems, but we have worked through that. So I am going to be uploading 4 times a week. As you guys know, I'm going to keep this episode on this platform every Tuesday. That doesn't change. You're also going to be getting a bonus episode and I'm going to alternate live shows and mini mess episodes. Now, the other two episodes are going to be on my Patreon. So on there, you're not only going to get two more episodes, and it's going to be mini mess or a live show as well, but you're also going to be getting a full fucking episode. If you go on over to Patreon, you also get early access and monthly Q&As. It's a lot more work, a lot more editing, which is like my least favorite part of this entire thing, which is fine. It's what I am choosing to do, but I'm really excited for this new uploading schedule and to have even more content out for you guys. So the topic that I want to talk about this week is settling. A lot of the times in relationships, we hear someone is the reacher, someone is the settler. And most of the time people are talking about looks or physicality. As long as you find your partner attractive, it doesn't fucking matter what anyone else thinks. I'm not here to yuck anyone's yums. I don't really care what your partner fucking looks like. But people forget that we oftentimes emotionally settle in relationships. And I'm gonna give you guys a story time because I have done this so many times, it makes me cringe. So we're gonna do a little story time about probably the biggest relationship where I was absolutely the settler. And then I'm gonna get into like why we kind of do this. So before I met my hot mess ex-husband, I think I was like barely 18, somewhere around there. I met this guy and we're gonna call him Sean. He was the brother of a friend, and I use that term very loosely here. Him and I met at a birthday party or something for my friend, and we hit it off really well. We had a lot of fun together. Everything was great for a little bit, but I knew he came from a broken home, which is something that him and I bonded over. Very quickly in this relationship, I started to see major fucking red flags. For one, this guy didn't have a job, and him and I were the same age. When you're like 18, 19, I don't expect you to have a fucking career, right? I'm 26 and I still don't even know what I'm doing with my life. But a job is different. You have bills, you have things that you need to pay for, and this dude didn't have a job. He lived with his grandmother, which is fine, but he then expected his grandmother and everybody else around him to pay his fucking bills. Did I listen to that major red flag? Of course I didn't, because I was 18. On top of that, he had a lot of emotional baggage, which is understandable given the trauma that he went through. His mother was an addict, his father wasn't around. His mother was with really bad guys, and his mother had also been in prison majority of his life. So yeah, this dude is gonna be fucked up. That's completely understandable. But that doesn't mean that I had to put up with what I fucking put up with. So I'm about 2-3 weeks into my relationship with Sean, and he comes to me and was like, hey, I think we should get a place together. What I should have said was, I think the fuck not. How are you gonna help pay the bills when you don't have a job? And at the time, I was working full-time, so I paid my bills are paid. This kid, like I said, did not. So he comes to me with this grand idea of us getting an apartment together, and I was so stupid and so naive that I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Not even thinking like, hey, I barely make minimum wage working full-time. I'm not gonna be able to afford an apartment, but an 18-year-old fucking la-la land, everything was gonna work out just fine. So he comes to me and says, let's get an apartment, and I went right along with it. So we start the apartment hunting process. We look at maybe two before he comes back to me and says, hey, my mom and her abusive drug dealing boyfriend also want to live with us. And I was super fucking hesitant, as I should have been. That right there should have been like yeah, I'm done. I'm done with this situation. I'm done with our relationship. I'm over it, right? But I didn't, because I was a fucking idiot. So he says, look, my mom just got evicted from her house and she also needs a place to stay. She's gonna be staying in a hotel until we can find a place. And his rationalization of this was, yeah, she's gonna be living there and like yeah, they're the adults, but we pay the bills, so it's our apartment. And if anything happens, we can kick them out. Let me just give you a little background on Sean's mom. Like I said, she was in prison, which I don't think defines you as a person. We make mistakes, but she was a serial criminal. She had committed multiple crimes just within the couple of months that Sean and I had been dating. Like, she took us to Walmart one time, came out with just all this shit that she had stolen. And you're on probation, my dude. Like, oh my gosh. Now, I personally know that the prison system is broken. I know it's not going to rehabilitate very many people. It's just there as a punishment. But I want to say this woman is like in her 40s, mid-40s. You're a grown-ass adult. You are in control of your decisions. You already know you're on probation and you have your barely legal kid with you and you're shoplifting all this shit. Anyway, moving on. Not only that, but she also had a past for violence. So if something had happened between her and I, she's not moving. Like, she would not leave the apartment. There's no way that two 18-year-olds were gonna go to her and be like, hey, we don't think you should live here anymore. She'd laugh in our face or fucking cut us. He made it seem like all it would take is we would just go up to her and be like, hey, this isn't working out. We need you to move. Not only that, but the boyfriend that was gonna be living with us, his mother's boyfriend, was a major drug dealer. Just not a good fucking situation. Like, if she's not gonna roll over and be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll leave, he sure as fuck isn't going to do that. Now, here's the catch. Out of all four of us, Sean, his mother, his mother's boyfriend, and myself, I was the only one with a job. The only one, which means all of the bills would have come down on me. I saw, just for the people like cringing right now, like, bitch, you fucking idiot. I know. I saw the red flags and I chose to ignore them because at that point in my life, I had zero fucking self-esteem, zero self-worth or self-love. This is why. This is why I did it. I'm not that person anymore. Awesome. We can move on. We start looking at apartments. And the apartments that we could afford were nasty. Excuse me, the apartments that I could afford were fucking nasty. Not only that, but Sean also had a criminal background. So none of them could be on the fucking lease. And a lot of places don't rent to 18-year-olds for good fucking reason. So the places we were looking at, like I said, were cockroach infested, just fucking gross ass, nasty places. And I was getting more and more and more uncomfortable. On top of that, Sean's mom and I were getting into a lot of arguments. She expected a lot out of me because her homelessness essentially relied on me to get a place for all of us to move in. Now, I wish I could say that was like the only major thing that I went through in that relationship. It fucking wasn't, of course. I got into numerous fights with Sean, with his mother, with his mother's boyfriend. He was asking me to drive my car uninsured without a license. It was bad. Everything was fucking bad. It was a really, really toxic situation. In that relationship, I 100% was the settler. Back in my day, like I'm old, like I'm like a 70-year-old woman, back in my day. But back when I was 18, I had things going for me. I was working full time and I was really, really motivated. So even though, yes, I was a damaged person and I had things I had to work on, I knew what I wanted out of life and I was doing everything in my power to go get it. So not only on a like personal or aspirational level was I settling, also an emotional level. I'm sure it's gonna come as a shocker to most of you, but Sean was not meeting my emotional needs. So on top of all this fucking craziness, right, like essentially using me for my income and my decent credit and my lack of a criminal record, he was also completely manipulating me and emotionally abusing and neglecting me. So in that relationship, I was settling on so many different fucking levels. And the reason why is because I had zero self-esteem. Like I said, I had no self-worth. I hadn't done the work that I have done now. And I was not the same person that I am now. So when we have a lack of self-worth and self-love, we allow people to treat us how we think we deserve to be treated. It's like that quote, we accept the love we think we deserve. It's become one of my favorite quotes. My best friend showed it to me, and I think it is so like spot on. When we think we deserve to be talked to like we're a piece of shit, we allow people to do that. And that extends outside of romantic relationships. That's friends, family, coworkers, all of the above. So when I had really low self-esteem, I allowed people to talk to me like that. Now that I've done the work, obviously, if anyone ever was like, hey, get an apartment in your name so me, my mom, and my mom's boyfriend, all felons, can come and live rent-free, I would laugh in their fucking face. I like to put it like this. If you had bad credit and you wanted to buy a house, would you spend years paying off your debts, paying off your credit cards, working on your credit and getting it to where it needed to be, and then buying a shitty house that you're not really happy with just for the sake of saying you bought a house? No. When you've done all that work, you're gonna put it into something that you actually want, that you deserve. So why do we invest in shitty partners? If we've done the work, and I'm not saying that anyone is perfect, our emotional credit may not be 100% fucking spot on, squeaky clean. I get it. No one is perfect. But when we have done the work to be the best version, or at least a better version of ourselves, our partner and the people we surround ourselves with should match that. I think what we do, at least, I don't know about you guys, this is kind of what I do, is because I know I have things to work on and I start to pick out the more negative sides of me. Like, I can be volatile when I drink. We've talked about this on the podcast before, the episode that Will was on. I have trauma that likes to come out when I've been drinking, and I laugh about it, but it's actually something that I am really working on. So I will focus so much on that, and I will tear myself down so much because I have negative sides to myself that I turn a blind eye to the amazing parts of me. Like the fact that I am emotionally intelligent, the fact that I'm really compassionate and sensitive, I'm selfless, and I know how to give unconditional love. I forget about those and I'm like, yeah, but I can be really mean when I'm drinking and, you know, I'm messy and here's 100 things that I'm actively working on. Okay, that's great. That's great that I can point those out. But what I do is, because I see any type of negativity, I will think that I deserve a partner that doesn't have the good qualities that I have. It's almost like a tit for tat kind of thing. Like, okay, I get mean when I drink sometimes. And then that means it's okay that my partner is emotionally abusive. Or sometimes I can't communicate effectively, so that means it's okay that my partner neglects my emotional needs. I learned about a year ago or so, maybe a little less than that, about 8 months ago, that I have to find a partner, and I deserve to find a partner, although they may be flawed as well, but they have to at least match the great things that I am bringing into this relationship. Just because you have some negative parts of yourself or things that you want to work on does not mean that you deserve to have your needs unmet. Does not mean that you don't deserve unconditional love. It does not mean that you don't deserve a partner who is going to have at least a basic level of mutual respect. But this is a constant reoccurrence with people. We focus on the negative about ourselves so then we can overlook the really negative parts of someone else. When you find a red flag in someone, ask yourself, would I accept if I was doing this to someone else? Or if this was my negative trait, would I work on it? If the answer is yes and your partner isn't working on it, then you need to leave. If this is something that you can't put up with, like it is a huge boundary for you, walk the fuck away. Because you have every right to do that. I believe another reason that we do this, and this kind of goes back to what I said with the house reference, is, yeah, I bought a shitty house, but hey, at least I have a house, right? It's pushed into our heads from society, regardless of your gender or gender identity, that our sole job on this planet is to find someone to link up, to get married, to buy a house, to have a great job, to have babies, and live happily ever after. But what a lot of people are not taught is that in order to live happily ever after, you have to find the right person. You can't live happily ever after if you're being emotionally abused, if you're being gaslit, if your needs are not being met. That sounds like a really shitty fucking life. So if that is a goal for you, if it is a goal to have a family or to have a partner, which if it isn't, fuck yeah. Live your life however the fuck you want to. As long as you're not hurting yourself or anybody else, you don't have to have a partner. But this is more for the people who want one or that's a goal for you. Just because you have a partner does not mean that it is a fulfilling relationship. And I don't know about you guys, but I would rather be single and be on my own versus having a partner who's not the one for me, who treats me like shit, who talks down to me, is neglectful, is abusive. You don't have to invest in a house that you don't want. You don't have to invest in a partner who doesn't fucking deserve you. If you feel like you are settling in your relationship, that is not the relationship for you. I was reading about something the other day and I thought it was so interesting because I felt like this in a relationship. When you feel like you are almost above your partner, whether it's emotionally or intellectually, physically, maybe you do all the housework. When you feel like you are almost superior to your partner, we're just going to talk about emotionally, right? Maybe you've done more work on your emotions and you can communicate effectively. You're just a little healthier than your partner. You assume almost like a parent role. That completely changes the dynamic of your relationship because it's one thing for it to be a mutual thing, right? Like, hey, I notice this is a bad thing that you do. I'm going to help you with this. And you notice this is a bad thing that I do. So you're going to help me with this. It levels the playing field. But when you're the one constantly going to your partner and being like, hey, here's this behavior, here's how you need to fix it in order for us to continue this relationship, you assume this superior role, like I said, almost like a parent. That affects your sex life significantly because you feel like this person's parent. And then it feels like weird and dirty to have sex with them because you view them almost like infantile or juvenile to you. So if you are struggling with your sex life, I know I have in past relationships. I mean, my hot mess ex-husband and I would not have sex for fucking months at a time. And I noticed a pattern. It was always when I felt like I was constantly having to pull him up to my level and teach him how to get up to where I was emotionally. And I did oftentimes assume the parental role because I was learning and growing and evolving. And he was okay being wherever he was. But I wasn't okay. I didn't want to walk away because I knew I deserved better. So in my head, it was easier to just yank him up alongside me and pretend like we were equals. But deep down, I knew that that wasn't ever going to be the dynamic between us. I was always going to evolve exponentially more than he was. So like I said, I assumed this parental role and then I didn't view him as a partner. I didn't view him as a sexual being. And that really impacted our relationship as well. So if you start to notice those patterns or you feel like you're in that right now, or have been in that in your relationship, being aware of it is always the first step, obviously. And then talking to your partner about it. If you have this conversation, let's say you notice that this is a cycle that you are going in and your sex life is drastically affected by it and your relationship isn't going very well because you have assumed this superior or parental role, you bring it up to your partner and they're like, oh shit, yeah, you're right. Like I take full accountability for that. I'm going to work on that. You express to them the areas that you wish they would grow in and allow them the room to do it. The more you hover and the more you push and push and push for them to grow on your timeline at your pace that you expect them to grow at, the more you're assuming this parental role. It's going to be more beneficial for you to sit back and allow them the space to grow at their pace, to find their own journey, to relinquish some of the control that you have. Now, if they're not growing and your emotional needs are not being met, walk away. I know a lot of you guys get upset at me because you're like, you're constantly telling me to break up with my partner because they do this, this, and this. I'm not telling you that, okay? Stay with your partner. It is what it is. I can't force you to. I'm never going to tell you to break up with someone because they, you know, whatever. It's not my business. What I'm saying is you have a right to have your emotional needs met. You want to stay with someone who has the fucking emotional intelligence of a potato? Fine. That's not my business. I'm just saying I wouldn't do it. I didn't do it. I walked the fuck away and had to work on myself. I had to become a better person, and I hope the same for you. But if you want to stay with your partner and you see great in them, awesome. Just allow them the space to actually grow. That's all I'm saying. I have settled way too many times in my life, and it's a learning process, but the first step is to fulfill yourself emotionally, mentally, and physically, you know, spelunk the old cave, because then when someone else comes into your life, you already have that standard of where they should be, and if they fall below that, you know they're not the one for you. I also want to leave you with this little nugget of information because I actually saw it on a TikTok, and she said, when you are not ready to see how your actions negatively affect those around you, accountability feels like an attack. And I just want you to sit with that for a second. When you are not ready to come to terms with the fact that your actions negatively affect those around you, having to take accountability feels like an attack. That's where you get defensiveness. That's where you get these big arguments and people don't feel heard. I don't know about you guys, but anytime I feel defensive, it's because I'm not ready to own up to the fact that I've done something shitty and that it has made someone else feel bad. Will has brought a couple things to my attention of areas where I can improve as a partner or things that I have done that have hurt him, because I'm still learning, I'm still growing, I still fuck up, I'm still a fucking hot, hot mess. And when he's brought these to my attention, if I wasn't ready to hear that I hurt him, I would get defensive. So when someone is defensive at you or towards you for something that you are telling them, hey, this hurt my feelings, you can look at them and say, I know it's hard to own the fact that you hurt my feelings, and I see that you're struggling with that. We can put this on pause, but this is a conversation we need to have in order to move forward. I just had to have that conversation, and it's still nowhere near fucking done. But I've had to do that with Ringleader. If you guys don't remember, she's a family member. She can be very manipulative. She has really toxic behavior. Go back a couple of episodes and you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. But I've had to have this conversation with Ringleader, especially more recently. And every time that I bring up something to her, she gets defensive. Or she talks about how what I'm doing hurts her feelings and just invalidates everything I have to say. A lot of the times our conversation goes like this. Hey, Ringleader, when you do this, it makes me feel this way. Here are my consequences because you're pushing my boundary. And then she'll reciprocate with, oh, well, what I did isn't that bad. So she's minimizing not only her actions, but invalidating my feelings about it. And then she'll go on to say, well, these consequences that you've set hurt me this way, and you're shutting me out, and you're doing all of these things. And how am I supposed to fix our relationship if you have cut contact with me? Well, I cut contact with you because you crossed a boundary and that's your consequence. So take accountability for what you've done. But oh, no. She doesn't want to take accountability because that would be too hard. Because then she has to own the fact that she has toxic behavior that affects the people around her negatively. So I just kind of wanted to leave you with that nugget. And if you ever find yourself getting really defensive over something someone has to say, chances are, not all the time, but chances are you're just not ready to hear the fact that you've hurt someone with your actions. So I hope you guys learned at least something from this episode. It was a struggle for me, I'm not gonna lie. Like I said, I got way too turnt last night because I'm not a fucking responsible adult, but we're working on it, you know? I'm allowed to be a hot, hot mess. I support being a hot, hot mess. Get off my back, all right? Just remember, if you fill your own cup, You won't have to beg somebody else to fucking do it. So work on yourself, work on loving yourself, accepting yourself, and growing for your damn self. Make sure you head on over to Instagram. You're gonna get all of the new merch announcements. You're gonna see the new setup. You're gonna get all my fucking awesome TikToks. I have a lot of amazing content that I'm going to be planning out today for the rest of the week. Like I say, I'm going to do all the time and I haven't gotten around to doing it. With this new schedule, obviously, comes a new Instagram schedule. So I am going to be bringing back the hot mess moment of the day or week. I'm also going to be sharing your guys's on there, which is something I've never done before. So if you want your hot mess moment of the day or week on my Instagram, make sure you message me on there as well. That is the best place to contact me if you have any feedback, suggestions, stories, anything like that. Also, if you want to hear the exclusive content, make sure you head on over to Patreon. I already have some things recorded and ready to be uploaded. I've got some more sex horror stories. I've got some of your guys' horror stories. It's going to be so much fun. The first episode that I recorded for Patreon, I laughed my ass off the entire time I was recording. And I mean like crying big tears laughing. So it is a great fucking episode. If you want to hear that, head on over to Patreon. If you like the design on Spreadshirt, just know it is a limited offer. I'm not going to be continuing with Spreadshirt. I'm not moving that design over to the new company. So that is going to be taken down here within about a week or so. Make sure you order it now. It's not going to be available anywhere else. The link is also in the description box below for all three, the old merch, the Instagram, and the Patreon. I hope you hot mess tribe have a wonderful fucking day. Go spread the hot mess joy around. Go forth and fucketh up. And as always, I will see you next Tuesday. Bye, bitches.